We're going to be starting in Genesis 3, as we've done most days, on this Sunday school lesson on foundations. We kind of peeked into where we started out and of everything, and usually the foundation is there in Genesis somewhere. And so that's where we're going, Genesis chapter 3, and we'll do a little bit in Genesis today. In our foundations, I want to talk about the foundations, the foundation of a relationship with the Lord, the foundation of a relationship with the Lord, and we want to have that right foundation in our life, and so a foundation of a relationship with the Lord, that's something we have to have. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the midst of the garden in the cool of the day. And Abraham and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Let's go ahead and we will bow for prayer, and then we'll talk a little bit about a relationship with the Lord. Our Father, thank you for the chance to preach and teach, and thank you for the Word of God, Lord. Thank you for the foundations we have laid. We've learned a lot, and we've studied a lot, and I pray today, again, we would learn. This, Lord, is so important, as all these foundations are. But, Lord, you long, and you made us for a relationship with you, and a million things distract us from that. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us. And I pray you'd give us your wisdom, and I pray you'd give us the ability to see how important this is, that our minds and lives would not wander away from the foundation of what we're here for. And I pray you'd please give us that reminder and knowledge. And we just pray to help us in this. In Jesus' name, amen. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. They sinned, and then God came in the cool of the day, it said. So in the morning, he was walking in the midst of the garden. And so apparently this is nothing unusual for the Lord. Excuse me. Woo! And that was so God, I think, normally did this. And so he came in there to talk to them, to walk with them. And what they did is how they responded was they hid themselves from him. And I think one of the things people do that kind of tells your heart condition is people are going to sin. We're going to mess up. But what do we do when we're not right? Some people are wise and do the right thing, and they go to the Lord, and they repent. And some people run from the presence of God. And I want to say, it doesn't help you. And please remember this, because when you're there, it'll make perfect sense to do it. But they ran from the presence of God and hid themselves. God is very good at hide and seek. Okay, he's going to find you. And you might as well say, you can't see me. And they hid from the presence of the Lord. Why? Because they were guilty and they knew it. Now, the Lord's a merciful God. And he'll come, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, you know, though he's white as snow and white as wool, and we'll forgive you and all those things. God's good about that. His mercy endures forever. But we as humans run from the presence of God when we're doing wrong. Jonah did the same thing. We run from the presence of God. Now, Jonah found out what Adam and Eve found out. God will find you. And God seeks you like he does lost sheep. He loves you. He wants to find you. So what you don't want to do is when you do wrong is run from God. Now, I want to tell you, I'm just going to just tell you, long experience of dealing with people. In America, what people do to run from the presence of God today in modern day is they run from going to church. Now, what they will do, and just you'll do it, I'll do it. If we're going to do this, if we're going to run from the presence of God, here's what we will do. I've seen pastors do it. I've seen church members do it. It's very common. It'll happen in this church in the next 3 months. Somebody will do it. You will do wrong. You will feel guilty. But in order to alleviate your guilt, the devil will help you find fault in the church. And so you'll get out of church, and then you'll be okay because they're bad people, and it's okay for you to leave church, okay? It's God commands you to go to church. If everybody in the church, if 100% of people in the church are hypocrites and secret Satan worshipers, okay, you're still commanded to go to church. Okay, the Bible says you're commanded to go to church. And we'll all just find a church where people aren't like that, okay? I understand if they're all secret Satan worshipers, you shouldn't go there. I'm being facetious and using hyperbole and all those other big words that mean I'm playing around. When you go and understand, you're going to, every church you're going to go to, there's these things called humans there. And as long as a church, now until you find the robotic church, okay, you're going to find imperfect people. Matter of fact, you're going to find an imperfect pastor, believe it or not. And if you want a list, I could give you one of how imperfect I am. Listen, you find where God leads you, and if it's not perfect, God sent a perfect person like you to help fix everybody. Okay? Because you obviously see everybody's imperfections, and you're perfect, so you can go ahead. And since you can't go to an imperfect place and you're perfect, that's why God sent you there to perfect everybody. And if you're not perfect, though, you can say, you know what? I have my own issues, too. Maybe we should all struggle together for the Lord instead of running from the presence of the Lord. And boy, how many people I've seen, and I mean hundreds of people, when I wasn't pastor, when I was a layman, I watched that and said, boy, why are they doing that? I watched it. I watched in Bible college. I watched it when I was in charge of a bus route in Chicago. I watched it all the place. They get at a church. The devil talks them into getting in a church. Then he just starts destroying them. There's a bunch of protections you have in a local church when you're part of a local church. There's a whole bunch of protections that God gives you. It's different than when you're on your own. It's different than when you're just attending a church, by the way. When you're part of a body, you have a bunch of biblical protections. And so what you do is you say, you know what? I'm not going to run from God's presence. And you do it. You mess up on Monday. Don't hide from God all week. Just say, you know what, Lord? You're better off saying, Lord, I wish I loved you more and would have not done this. I'm not a good enough Christian yet, Lord. I'm sorry. You're a million times better than trying to run from God's presence and act like God's not going to know you did wrong because you're not thinking about him. We were strange creatures, we humans are. So they try to hide from God, and God finds them. But notice that the relationship is broken. They were with God, now they're running from God, and that's important. Now, Genesis chapter 5, a little different. In verse 22, Enoch walked with God. Now, God came to walk with Adam and Eve, but they ran. Enoch got to walk with God. What a... That phrase is something I hope I never get over. Enoch walked with God. Just, who have you walked with? Who was the last person you walked with? Imagine being able to walk with God. Take a walk with the Lord. That's an amazing privilege to be able to just take a walk with the Lord. By the way, I husbands, for a second, let me pick on you. Take a walk with your spouse. Many times, women like that time. Men... walking is very intimate and close and talking, and you can get close to somebody walking with them. It's good to walk as a couple. It's good to walk with your kids and to spend time walking. And that's some ancient thing people used to do. You'd put your legs in front of each other, and it's something you do between your car and house. Walking's good. And it's a close time, and it's a wonderful time. And in it, got to take a walk with God. And then we see in chapter 6 and verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. That's a personal time. That's a relationship with the Lord. And I just think it's great. As we see in the very start of Genesis, God wants to spend time and spends time walking with people. And people walked with God. And God likes that closeness. And God is like that. All right, let me take it at the book of James, way forward. The book of James in chapter 4. Walking with God. Having a personal relationship with the Lord. One of the things you hear oftentimes when people are religious but not close to the Lord is their spiritual credentials are based on those around them. So You talk to somebody about their relationship with God, and they'll say, oh man, my mom was a prayer warrior. My mom and dad were the best Christian. My grandpa was a preacher. And all these things like that. That doesn't make you spiritual. You know, if my dad won the Nobel Prize, my grandpa won the Nobel Prize for, you know, physics, doesn't mean that I have a PhD in physics. Okay? It just means that that's somebody in the past had that. You have to have your own relationship with the Lord. And nothing will substitute for that. Going to church a lot, by the way, won't substitute for that. It's your own relationship with the Lord. The Lord expresses he wants this. It's something he really wants with us. And James chapter 4 and start at verse 5. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Draw nigh unto God, he will draw nigh unto you. God invites us in these things. God says, I'm desiring to be with you. I want to be close to you. I want you to draw near to me. And the Bible says, let us draw near unto God with full hearts of assurance. The Lord invites us to draw close to him. The Bible says in John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The Bible says eternal life is not being in heaven. Eternal life is knowing God. That's what it's all about. It's about knowing the Lord. Jesus said in John 17:3. So number one, the Lord expressed a desire to be close to us. The Lord started off wanting to walk with man. The Lord, all throughout the Bible, invites us to draw near to him. The Bible says the Lord is near or nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. God wants to be close to you. But as I think as Jeremiah says, your sins have separated between you and me. Now listen, I want you to understand, the Lord is sitting in heaven and he's looking down, and he, if you aren't, he right now says, I want to be close to you. I want to have a personal relationship with you. And my relationship with God is very unique. And your relationship, God, is very unique with God. The Lord wants to be close to each one of us individually. He wants to be friends with you. He wants to have all kinds of close intimacy with you. A personal relationship with the Lord is what Christianity is all about. The Lord is not some distant God who ignores what's happening down here. No, the Lord says, I number the hairs on your head. He says, not one sparrow drops the ground without me knowing it. You're even more important than a sparrow, so I'm paying attention to you. The Bible says his ears are open unto our cry. The Bible says casting all our care upon him, for he cares for us, 1 Peter 5:7. In other words, the Lord is saying all over the Bible, hey, you're important to me. You individually are someone I want to be close to. And here's the thing, if you don't have a close relationship with the Lord, you cannot be spiritual outside of an intense spiritual atmosphere. There was a period where I needed to be around Christians constantly. I needed to be in church constantly. I needed to, when I went to a conference or a camp, I was way up here spiritually, and then I'd come down, way down afterward. You know, when you have a personal relationship with the Lord, you're still in touch with the spiritual on Tuesday and Wednesday and Friday, and days when maybe, you know, you're not at church. Maybe you're not around Christians. I had, when I started serving the Lord, I had, at my home, it was not Christian. When I went home, I had to serve God and do the right things against the grain of everyone around me. Well, my pastor wasn't going to know what I was doing. Other Christians weren't going to know what I was doing then. It was either I was doing it because I knew God and I loved God and I had a relationship with him, or I wasn't going to do it. When I went to public school, it wasn't easy to serve the Lord, and I had to get to know God personally. I had to get that relationship with him myself, and it's okay if someone is helping you for a while. Every kid is going to be in a home, and those parents in that home, if he's in a Christian home, are going to help them do the right thing and push them to do the right thing. But hopefully those parents are handing them off to the Lord so that they can know the Lord personally. And so that they'll be able to do the right thing when they're not in their home. because we've all got to have a personal relationship with the Lord. I think it's an amazing thing. We're a little used to the way God is and the way the Bible teaches that he is, but understand, it's wonderful that the God of the universe takes a personal interest in being close to you. That you're personally important to him, that he numbers the hairs in your head. As Psalm 8 says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? He says, when I consider the stars, the works of your hands, I look at the whole universe that you're keeping together, because by God all things consist, and I think, why are you thinking about me? Why are you mindful of me? Why do you want to be close to me? But the Lord wants to have a personal relationship with you. And by the way, he has a personal relationship with you. It's just a matter of making it good or bad. That's all. I just want to have a good relationship with him. You have a relationship with your worst enemy. It's not a good relationship, but you have a relationship with him. It's a bad relationship. Adam and Eve chose to run from the presence of God. The Lord knows you. He knows everything. He formed you in the womb, the Bible says. He is very focused on you. He keeps your tears in a bottle. There's 1,000 things the Bible says God is paying attention to us. He wants to be in a personal relationship with you. And that's the foundation of Christianity. You get saved, and then you get close to God. And by the way, that's what we're going to do for all eternity, is be close to the Lord. And so the Lord has expressed his desire to be close to us. Now, what separates us? We saw it in Genesis 3, sin. Your iniquities have separated between you and I. Sin separates us from God. Now, the Lord still wants to be close to us. He just wants us to confess our sins and deal with them. He wants to be close. He expressed that desire. The Bible says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. See, God stood over here on his side. He looked at you. He saw the need. He said, Jesus, die for their sins. He's looked at you your entire life. He knows every detail about you. He formed you in the womb. He's expressed all of his desire to be close to you. He's watching you. He gives his angels charge to watch you. He is waiting to be close to you. It says the spirit that dwelleth in us, the Holy Spirit, lusted the envy, in the context of James 4, about being close to us and having a close relationship with us. He has that strong desire where he's envying a close relationship with us. And so the Lord is looking at you. But God is also has some dignity. And he says, I have sent out this message. I have expressed it this way. I want to be close to you. I've done everything to make us have a relationship, but you got to want it. That's why he says, we draw near unto God, and God draws near unto us. Why? God's done everything to get close to us. But he wants to know if you want it. And the great thing is, if we might be way away from God, but if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. In other words, he closes the gap. And that is so true in the spiritual life. When you take the steps you need to take, God helps you and gives grace. And he makes it easier to get close to him, because that's what he wants. And so the Lord is constantly waiting for you to take steps. You know, a great step is to say, Lord, I'm struggling with this. Lord, I want to get close to you, but that's drawing near to God. And so you need to realize God has done everything. He's just waiting for you to come toward him. He's already expressed it. He's already paid the price to get you to him with Jesus dying on the cross. He has formed you and made you for himself. He's done all the things. He invites you. He stands at the door and knocks. But you got to answer the door. You can be as close to God as you want to be. He's given you all access. You've just got to say, I want it, Lord. I'm going to take the time to do this. He's expressed a desire to be close to us. Number two, his labors begin with a closeness to him. Let me take it to Mark and I'll explain that. Mark chapter 3. His laborers always begin with a closeness to him. Mark chapter 3. In verse 14, he's calling the disciples that he wants, in verse 13, and he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him, and he ordained 12 So he's got these disciples. What are the apostles going to be ordained to do? He ordained 12, first of all, that they should be with him. Wow. The first thing he said wasn't what he said later. That he might send them forth to preach, that's important. That he might have power to heal sickness, that's important. And to cast out devils, that's important. But the first thing he ordained them to do is be with him. That's number one. I got an article right now with statistics of pastors and their prayer time struggles. And it's stunning that the first thing that Jesus calls his disciples to do, they're struggling to do now. And I understand why, because of the schedule and the demands and everything. I get it. But what is more important than spending time with God? That they might be with him. See, everything else in your life will stem out of your relationship with God if you're doing your life right. The Bible says, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Abide in me and I in you, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Your life is fruitful if you abide in Christ. If the word of God, God talking to you in that time, if you spend time in the word, the Bible says, whatsoever you do shall prosper. And the backward way the devil tries to get you to do is say, you don't have time to spend time with God. You're too busy to be close to God. You got too many things, too many worries. I always love when somebody say, I got so many, too many things going on right now. I can't go to church. That's why you need to be in church. That's why you need time in the word. That's why you need time with God. You know why? Because what you do is when you do not spend time with God, the very purpose you were created for, God is not blessing your work. And you're spinning your wheels. You're sitting there on ice and your speedometer says 100 miles per hour and you got it floored. And somebody says, you know, maybe you should stop and put some chains on. I don't have time to get chains on. I've got to get somewhere. That's what you're doing with your life. See, you don't seek God's kingdom if you have time. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. If you'll put God first in your life and you give God time and getting close to him as your priority, you'll be surprised how whatsoever you do shall prosper. You'll get this thing called Godspeed. You'll get blessings from God. In other words, I love when somebody spends, 60 hours that week looking for a job and nobody calls them. I don't have time to spend time with God. Then they stop and say, you know what, I'm going to spend some time with God this week. And they go fill out 3 applications and they get 3 calls. It's always amazing when you're not blessed how hard life is. You want God to just bless you when you put him at the very back burner? Do you think that'd work in a marriage? I don't have time for you right now, but you know what? I want you to do a whole bunch of things for me and make me happy and make me blessed, but I don't have time for you. Yeah, your wife might cook for you, but it might not be. There might be something in there that's poison, because you choose. And the whole Sunday morning message on this, you choose what's important in life. If you do not choose what's important, the default will happen, and the default is not rightly prioritized. The devil will give you priorities if you don't choose them. And it always, in America's case, will revolve around money, career. And you'll tell yourself your family's your priority, but it won't be. You tell yourself the Lord's your priority, but it won't be. You've got to seek God's kingdom first. And these people have said, you know what, I'm going to teach you how to preach the gospel. I'm going to teach you how to cast out devils. I'm going to teach you how to heal diseases, and that's all great. But the first thing is, you're ordained to be with me. Because I want to be close to you. And it all stems off that. It all stems off that. Knowing the Lord, even his laborers. God met Moses on a mountain before he went back to Egypt. God meets with his people. God wants, see, really what being close to the Lord is, of course, confessing your sin and get it away from you and God. But it's also your prayer time, you talking to God, sharing your heart, expressing how you feel, and the Lord talking to you through his word and through preaching. That's closeness to God. That's a big part of it. That's the majority of it, is that conversing back and forth. And it's a lifetime relationship. Now, we have a problem a little bit today, because we have a lot of people afraid to get close today. And it's now, and this is is the last 20-year phenomenon more than before? I mean, there's always been people like that, but now it's really getting to be a thing because people get wounded so bad. See, it used to be at least your family treated you right. But nowadays, people will betray you and your own family like crazy. It's one of the reasons I'm telling people, you got to get a will. Because brother and sister will hate each other fighting for that inheritance. Just let it be settled ahead of time. Don't let them fight over it. Why? Because now the closest person who you opened your heart up to will stab you. Unfortunately. Now, it's not true about everybody. You sometimes just that person did it. But now we just trust everybody. And we even are afraid to give our hearts to God and get close to God. We guard ourselves too much. Now, I believe in keeping your heart. The Bible says, Proverbs 4, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I don't believe in giving your heart to everybody. I will love everybody, but I don't give my heart to everybody. It's a big difference. When you've got to be careful, but however, you've got to be able to grab your heart and say, you know what, it got wounded, let me give it to the one who can heal it. God is not going to betray your trust. People can. Any human has a potential. You have the potential to betray somebody's trust. Everybody can. But when I say, do not be afraid of closeness. Be able to get close to the ones who you need to get close to. There's people in your family you need to get close to. There's the Lord of heaven. You need to be able to get close to him. Do not be afraid of closeness, though you've been hurt before. And I had to learn that because I was not a close person to anybody because of my upbringing was harsh and hard and difficult. And so when I came into the Christian life, thank God I found out how good God was and quickly gave my heart to God and never regret it. And by the way, once I gave my heart to God and found out I could give my heart away, oh, how wonderful it was that I found out that my heart can be healed, and now I can give it away to other people who won't need to. I can give it to my family, and I can give it to people who I love and people who need to do that. And so don't be afraid of closeness. Just start off with God. If you've been wounded, start off with giving your heart and getting close to God. He'll heal you up, and he won't betray you like people can. Philippians chapter 3. Number 1, we said the Lord expressed his desire to be close to us. Number 2, his labors begin with closeness to him. Number 3, in Philippians chapter 3, is knowing him should be a passion we have. Knowing the Lord should be a passion we have. See, Christianity isn't this shot in the arm you get, so you can make it through the week. And church can be that. Church can be excited and help you and strengthen you, and that's good. But the relationship with God is what keeps you all the time. It's what makes you watch the right things and not watch the bad things on TV. It's what makes you pray when nobody's going to know except for God if you prayed. It's what makes your thought life right because nobody knows your thought life except for God. These relationship with God, the closeness to him, if you love me, keep my commandments. That there is what keeps you going. That's there what keeps you strong when you feel like nobody understands or nobody cares. The Lord's closeness will stabilize you and help you in life. Knowing him should be the passion we have. Look at Philippians in chapter 3 and verse 10. It says that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Now, let me go to the context of this. He says, I've lost everything for this cause. Verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him and that I may know him. Verse 10. He says, I have lost everything. Everything in the world I've lost for just a few reasons. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, I've lost everything. He says, that I may win Christ, that I may be found in him, and that I may know him. He says, I'll lose everything to know him. It's a passion. It's very important we have that. See, God says, you know, it's a passion we should have because it's a passion God has. The Lord expresses the relationships he wants with us. Matthew 7:11 talks about, he says, pray to your Father which seeth in secret. If ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask him? John 1:12, but as many as receive him, to them give ye power to become the sons of God. God wants a parent child relationship. You know, it's so funny because I could say, you know, I never knew what it's like to have a dad and to have that relationship. You know, God's so gracious in Psalm, I think it's 76, 78. He says he becomes a father to the fatherless. God became my father because he wanted to be close to me. God wants to be your father child. He wants that relationship, a close relationship like a parent with a child. He wants that with you, so he expresses that relationship, that his desire to have that relationship, the father-son relationship. He expresses he wants to be friends with us. It's John chapter 15. You know, God expresses not only does he want to be close to you, but he tells you how he wants to be close. He wants to be friends. Abraham was called the friend of God. John 15 and verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father have I made known unto you. He says, you know, I am calling you my friends. God wants to be friends with you. He says in John chapter 10, he wants to be shepherd and sheep. He says, I know my sheep by name. I know them. They follow me, and I give them eternal life. He says in John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. He says the hireling is someone I could hire to take care of you, but a hireling doesn't really care for the sheep. He's just an employee. He'll run away when the wolf comes. But I am the shepherd. I know you by name. I call you by name, and I will give my life for you because you're my sheep. It's the closeness of God. I think this is the reason why there are certain Christians who aren't looking at people to find an excuse not to serve God. And I want to say that. There are Christians, and so they're looking to go live in sin and live in the world, and they are looking for some Christian to blame or some reason or some fault so they can run away from God. You know why? Because they've just been given a set of rules. They don't know God. When you know God, there's nobody who can stop you from serving God. The martyrs were murdered for Christ. They were burned at the stake and fed to the lions and burned alive and all the different things. And they said, I have a relationship with the Lord. I would never betray him. See, when you get close to God, you love him so much, nothing can stop you from serving him when you know God. And when you don't know God, And serving the Lord is not out of a relationship, Christianity seems very difficult. But Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why? Because you want to serve him because you love him. Just like a mom wants to take care of her kids and doesn't mind getting up in the middle of the night, and she'll do it willingly because she loves her kids. Just like a husband doesn't mind providing for his family because he loves his family. Just like we love serving God. We are honored to be able to go to church and pray and read our Bibles and love the lost and help needy people and do all those things and clean our lives up and all those things. Why? Because we are in a relationship and we love the person we're serving. And I hope that you will get to that point where you love the Lord and you are close to him and he is your best friend. And I think it's good to have friends. I think it's good to have best friends on earth. And it's good to have some people you love and people you're close to and do that. And that's great. But I want to say, make God your best friend. Be very close to him. It'll become an honor to serve him, not a burden. Amen? Is it warm in here? Is it warm in here? All right. Good. I will not... quit serving God because you're going. It is cold. It is warm in here. I can just tell by the way people are reacting. And so I will keep serving the Lord anyway because I love him. And I don't preach for you. I preach for him. Amen. Get close to God. He's waiting for it. He's looking for it. You got somebody who will never hurt you, who never betray you, who wants to be close to you. It's what Christianity is all about. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship, and getting close to God is what it's all about. Why does he seek us otherwise? Why does he chase the lost sheep? Because he wants to be close. Let's bow our hearts for prayer. Lord, thank you for the chance to teach on the foundation of a close relationship with you. Lord, that's what you wanted with Adam and Eve, and that's what sin took away. And they ran. But thank you, you showed your grace, and you walked with Enoch, and you walked with Noah, and throughout you met with Jacob, and you did all these things with Joshua and Moses and Jesus and John and Peter and so many people, Lord, you drew close to. The disciples on the road to Emmaus, discouraged, you sat down and ate with them and fed them. Lord, you like the closeness. You like to be with people. You like to be friends with us. And Lord, what is man that thou art mindful of him? It's just unbelievable. It's amazing. It's great. It's wonderful, Lord. We thank you. You want that. Thank you. Offer that to us. But Lord, I think that those invitations that you have, Revelation 3:20, you stand at the door and knock. You're talking to Christians. And you want us to open the door and sup with us, to eat with us and be close to us. In James 4, where you said, if we draw near unto you, you'll draw near unto us. Lord, we have a million distractions. We have a million things screaming for our mind and our attention and to think about. We have a million things to do and entertainment that is never ending. Lord, I pray today that we would forget all the things that don't matter and think about what matters, which is being close to you. I pray we'd have our minds stayed on you. I pray that we'd dwell in your tabernacle and dwell on your holy hill, and that your spirit would speak to our hearts and remind us that you being close to you is what it's all about. I pray today that we wouldn't be religious people. We'd be Christians who are close to you and know our God and know that's what it's all about. Please, Lord, help us. And please, Lord, remind us of who it's all about. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.